as Donald Trump unleashed verbal fury at the media and the whistleblower in the Ukraine affair overnight. Observers say his vice president is quietly distancing himself from his leader, while his secretary of state has likely been untruthful and may himself be in strife in the impeachment process. The president hurled profanity and displayed visceral anger about the process, including toward the Democrat Representative Adam Schiff, who is chairman of the House Intelligence Panel, after a New York Times report said the whistleblower had contacted that committee for advice.
He should resign from office in disgrace, and frankly, they should look at him for treason, because he is making up the words of the president of the United States. Not only words, but the meaning, and it's a disgrace. It should not be allowed to happen.
Well, despite the president's anger, the Democrats are proceeding and say they may well add an obstruction of justice charge to their hearings. The president is accused of soliciting the Ukrainian president to dig up dirt on Joe Biden, Donald Trump's principal Democratic adversary for the 2020 elections at this stage, over discredited allegations and using US military aid as a lever. Well, Peter Wehner worked for three Republican administrations, Reagan and the two Bushes. He's also a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. We spoke earlier. Peter Wehner, thank you for speaking with us. How do you, first of all, interpret the president's profane rage today when questioned about the Ukraine controversy and impeachment?
Well, I think it's a further sign of his unraveling, of his psychological and emotional unraveling. None of this is a surprise to me. I've thought from the outset that this is a person who has a disordered personality. I just think it's accelerating, and the way that it's playing itself out changes. But I think that the core problem is what it has always been with him. So it's bad, and it's going to get worse. The only way for the for America to free itself of this kind of melodrama and disorientation and all of the rest is finally to get rid of Donald Trump as president.
Well, on some of the details of where that's heading, and it is quite dizzying at the moment, we saw the Reuters reporter Jeff Mason today questioning President Trump on specifically on what the president wanted the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, to do with regard to former Vice President Joe Biden and his son, that phone call. Why is that a question at this time when we have that partial transcript of the phone call that seems to make clear what the president wanted?
I don't really know that there's much purpose in asking Donald Trump what he says occurred in that conversation, because, as you say, we know at a minimum what occurred. I imagine it's going to be a lot worse if and when we find out what the actual conversation was like.
Now, a couple of the key players around the president we learned new information about today. We saw Secretary of State Mike Pompeo apparently contradict himself. He'd said he wasn't on that Trump-Zelensky call, but today he said he was on that call. What are the implications for him in terms of the impeachment process of that?
I think they're pretty significant. I think Pompeo lied, which is serious, and I think he lied for a reason, and that is that he knew that being implicated in what happened with the call of with Ukraine is really quite serious. It's, you know, one of the dangers and problems with having somebody like Donald Trump, who transgresses lines, moral lines, ethical lines so often, who's a norm-shattering person, is that it's difficult sometimes to fully appreciate just how serious the violations, the transgressions are. And the idea that an American president would call the president of Ukraine and essentially use extortion techniques to get them to investigate and dig up dirt on the person he believes to be his primary domestic political rival is pretty stunning. And if the Secretary of State knew about that, was involved in that, helped advance that, that's extremely serious stuff. And Pompeo, who is not delusional like Donald Trump, must know that. I have the feeling that we're beginning to see this whole thing begin to unravel. There's a story in the Washington Post today, I believe, in which Pence's aides are saying that while he was involved in putting pressure on Ukraine, he didn't know that Trump was essentially operating offline with Giuliani.
Just to be clear, speaking of Mike Pence, the vice president there.
Yeah, no, that's right. So you've now got distance between the vice president, Mike Pence, and the president, Donald Trump. You have Rudy Giuliani, who is the president's personal lawyer, throwing the State Department and Mike Pompeo under the bus. And then you have people like Rush Limbaugh, who's a very significant talk radio personality going after Fox News for not being sufficiently loyal to the great leader, Donald Trump. That's the kind of thing you begin to see when a presidency is enveloped in scandal, and it's going to get worse, not better.
So amidst all that turmoil, though, Republicans in Congress appear to be remaining solid behind the president. Why is that?
Because they're cowardly. They don't have the courage to distance themselves from Trump. There's also a good deal of self-interest. They're not stupid. They know that if they break from Donald Trump, that the base of the party will turn on them with ferocity. We've seen that already with Mark Sanford and with Bob Corker and with Jeff Flake. These are Republicans in Congress who deign to speak critically of Donald Trump, not to vote against his policies or to oppose his appointments, simply to call him out on his immorality, his unethical behavior. And the base will just devour those people. The fact is that in a lot of districts for members of the House and in many of the red states that Republican senators represent, Trump is more popular than they are. So they're afraid of that. And finally, there's something that I refer to as the psychology of accommodation. That is essentially what happens to individuals when they make accommodations with people where they've compromised their sense of integrity. And one of the things that happens is that people become more and more used to the transgressive behavior and defend it. And then they turn with real vehemence against people who call them out on it because they know on some deep level that they have compromised their integrity. I do think that if we get to the point with Republicans where their attachment and association to defense of Donald Trump is a threat to their political survival, then and only then will the Republicans turn on Trump. Trump famously said during the 2016 campaign that he could go on Fifth Avenue in New York City and shoot someone and his supporters would stick with him. A lot of people thought that was hyperbole at the time. It turned out that was uncomfortably close to the truth.
And so where do you see the impeachment process going then? Because if the Republicans don't come across, the process is not simple to complete, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, this is part of the separation of powers. And right now, the way things stand, I think it's a pretty good bet that the House will impeach Donald Trump because the House is controlled by Democrats and that the Senate will not convict him because there's a majority of Republicans in the Senate. Having said that, I do have a feeling that this situation now, this particular scandal, is different than any that have preceded it. One gets the feeling that it's a very, very fluid situation. Politics, like life, is never static, so things could change. But, you know, if I had to make a prediction now, I don't think Donald Trump is going to go anywhere unless the American people vote him out of office in 2020.
Peter Wehner, thank you very much for your time today.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Advisor to three Republican administrations, Peter Wehner.